Well, thank you for having me. Today we're going to be sharing our joys and sorrows and how we can actually become a community of love. And I actually just wanted to share, if you've seen me in the last month, I've probably told you about this, but you can hear it again. But a couple of weeks back, our star team went up to the Goldie on this pastors conference, and there were lots of standout moments. But one of them in particular, this girl, Jackie Pullinger or something. Anyways, absolute boss lady. She's 80 now, but when she was 20, she had this deep calling and urging, deep conviction from God that she was going to be sent. And she didn't even know where she was going to be sent. She was 20, single, she didn't do a bachelor of ministry, anything like that. So no missionary agency was actually going to support her. She was like, "What do I do about this?" And she chatted to her pastor, and her pastor's like, "Well, if God's put that on your heart, I think you should go." So she's from the UK, she's 20, no financial backing, nothing. Hops on this boat and she ends up in Hong Kong. So she hops off and she's like, this place is like, it's like a dark place. Like not only spiritually, but literally in her book, she talks about the buildings are so tall, there's barely any light in there. It's full of people addicted to certain drugs, prostitution, just a heavy, heavy environment. And anyways, she's been there for 60 years now, and she has just had some of the seeing people come to know Jesus and the joys of that. But she's also experienced deep betrayal and disappointment and times that have been just exhausting. And the thing that she's lived a life, beautiful life and a really hard life, but what she shared with us is she was like, "I've done this, but I have lived the most joyful life." And that just really struck with me of what we think of joy in especially our Western culture, and then what actually is joy and finding that in Jesus. Anyways, strap yourselves in. I've got 14 pages. But don't worry, double spacing. So, yeah. Anyways, I want to center our message today on Romans 12:15, which is rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So over the past few weeks, we've been in this series called Life Together, kind of looking at, in a time of individualism and loneliness, what does it look like to be a Christ-centered community? And we actually have a call to be a community of love and depth. So as we gather together week in and week out, how are we being formed into the likeness of Christ? Christian community is not just designed for belonging or acceptance, but we're actually it's for transformation and to become more Christ-like. So how do we do this? The first thing I wanted to actually kind of strip back a little bit is as we think about Christian community, it's not just about connection, but also formation. And every time we gather together, whether in church or in small groups or around a meal, how are we being formed? And when Paul says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep," he's not just giving nice social advice, but he's actually describing how us as a church can become a reflection of Christ's kingdom, a place where love isn't actually just shallow, but it's deeper. The Bible has a very little understanding of an individual faith. It seems to always be in community. I think God's pretty concerned about that. I think he's just concerned about creating a community that would love him and reflect his love to the world. We see that in Israel, in the church, like us today, and we'll see that eventually in the new creation. And so obviously relationships and friendships and things like that, a lot of that is around conversations. And John Eldridge has this three layers of conversations, and I was like, I think this is just a helpful thing to hold in the back of our minds as we go about life. Anyways, he describes it as the shallows, the midlands, and the depths. And so I'm sure you can kind of fill in the gaps of what that means, but I'll give a little brief overview. The shallows is your small talk, how's the weather, what footy team you go for, maybe your favorite place to go on the weekend. The Midlands is like a little bit deeper. It's kind of sharing some struggles, maybe a work colleague that's a bit annoying or something going on in your family life. And then the depths is like the most authentic layer. This is where you're talking about your fears, your hopes. When you're kind of asking and stirring those deeper faith questions. So we all know what the shallows are like, these lovely, polite conversations. And John Tyson, he kind of like, after reading John Eldred's work, he's like, do you know what? At all costs, like as Christians, we need to get to the depths because that's where transformation happens. So we actually can't stay in these shallows. And now to clarify, I think this takes time. You know, if we think about the ocean, you can't just like be on the sand and then straight in the depths, but you kind of got to wade yourself through the shallows. And it's that same principle for relationships and friendships. I think that, yeah, I just want to emphasize our goal is to move beyond the surfaces and to this point of authenticity. But it takes time, takes trust, takes courage. But it's actually in those depths when we get to truly rejoice with each other and like weep with each other's sorrows that we get to become a community of love. And it can't all be deep and meaningful because that's just like exhausting and like no one's down for that. But it can't all be shallow as well. And so, you know, we can't have these deep relationships with everyone, but like our hope is that as a church, this is a place where that can be fostered and cultivated. Anyways, back to the Bible. So the verse of the day, rejoice with those who rejoice. And I want to look at Nehemiah 8, and it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So you've probably heard this before. We often hear it in worship songs. But like how and like what does it mean to find your strength in God's joy? In this story, the people of Israel have just returned from exile, and Nehemiah like gathers them around and he reads out God's word. And at first they begin like weeping out of like probably like a deep conviction. And he kind of like gets up and he's like, do not mourn, do not weep. This day is holy to our Lord, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And then this literally led to the people just like outbreaking in celebration, and it was followed by like many, many feasts. And so like after generations of sorrow, they experienced this joy that was rooted not in circumstances, but in God's faithfulness. And that's the kind of joy we're talking about. It's not just this shallow, putting on a smile kind of thing, but a joy that becomes a source of strength. We also see this in Paul's letter to the Philippians when he commands the people, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And in both examples, the people, both Nehemiah and Paul, are actually like commanding the people to rejoice. So it kind of like it raises, maybe joy isn't just a spontaneous feeling that occurs to us and when things are going well, but maybe it's a discipline and a choice that we actually have. Joy as a discipline, that's my next point. Henry Nguyen once wrote, joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing joy. Science even backs this up. Like there's studies and it's like our brains are wired to have like 14 to 1 of like negative to positive thoughts. So it's actually like not something that's naturally going to occur. It means it's something we actually need to cultivate. When I was like younger, I remember like hearing this, all right, so I should try and be joyful. And I used to like write down like a highlight of my day. So even if my like friendship groups exploded or who knows what happened, nothing, never to do with the family, don't you worry. But it would actually help me just and remind me of God's goodness, even in the small things. And I think over time, like definitely helped me to become a more joyful person. I think something that's really cool about joy is it's really countercultural in our day and age. Like it doesn't take long to see like massive outrage or envy and anger just like out there in the world, whether it's on social media, the news, or in friendships and things like that. But as Christians, like our community, we're actually called to be different. We're not meant to just mirror the world, and it's meant to contrast it. So where the world thrives on outrage, we are called to overflow with grace. When envy and comparison destroy relationships, we're called to rejoice when others are blessed. John Mark Comer puts it this way. He says, we need to form micro communities of joy, outposts of laughter and delight in the midst of chaos. In chaos. So when a prayer is answered, we rejoice together. We're like refusing envy and we're giving thanks. So someone buys their first home and we like celebrate that. When a baby is born, we like rejoice in this new life and we get to actually share in that joy. You know, when you graduate school, it's like honoring that hard work and like refusing comparison and like speaking blessing over one another. When someone overcomes sickness, we give thanks with them. When a business thrives, we rejoice in God's provision. It's like refusing rivalry and instead celebrating like the kingdom wins together. And to kind of land this, like, sorry, we're actually only halfway through, but to land this point, joy is rooted in what God has done. So we actually, like, we're talking about this at youth a couple weeks back about God's goodness and God's faithfulness. And I was, like, so struck, like, in our small group, one of the girls shared, and she was like, yeah, you know, recently I've just been, like, stopping and I've kind of been reflecting on all the ways God's answered my prayers. And she was like, sometimes it's so easy to forget and you, like, oversee all the ways God's worked in your life. And it's, like, so true. Like, we actually need to, like, remember and, like, call these things out of the goodness of God and the way he's working in our lives. One way to understand this is looking at, like, the three dimensions of joy. So it's, like, looking back to what God has done for us in the scriptures and our lives, looking, like, up to who God is, his love, his grace, his faithfulness, his holiness. And also looking forward to what God will do, a new heaven and a new earth. And so regardless of like what is going on in our lives, we can actually center ourselves and ground ourselves in this reality. So I just want to ask you a couple questions. And that is, when was the last time you paused to reflect on God's faithfulness? Or when was the last time you shared a testimony of his goodness? And like, when was the last time you've actually rejoiced in someone else's answered prayer? And like, all these practices are ways that we can actually cultivate joy together. And now I recognize life is not always like sweet as, and there is a real toughness to it. And Paul recognizes this too. In the later part of the verse, we've got rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So what does it mean to become a community that shares our sorrows? And to answer that, we're going to look at Jesus, the man himself. And in Mark 14, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says to his disciples, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And he's just pulled like a couple of his like close mates around him. And I think like Jesus, like the Son of God, like who lived the perfect human life, like invited some of his close friends into his pain. And I just think like if Jesus needed a few friends to bear the weight of the cross, like how much more do we need one another to bear the weight of our own crosses? And this doesn't come naturally either. So our instinct is often to do the opposite. We distract ourselves. We might come up with a quick fix, put on a strong face, you know, say I'm fine. I know for myself, I can do that really easily. I hate admitting I need help. But biblically, this is actually not how we're called to live. Jesus himself modeled something different, and he showed us what it looks like to share our sorrows with God and with one another. So I have 2 points. One of them is we're not called to carry our burdens alone. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me. Actually, do you know what? I'd even like shut your eyes because I feel like when you really rest in this, it's like, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. you can open your eyes before you'll fall asleep. Now, Jesus, yeah, he doesn't just suggest that we come to him, but he actually commands it. He's saying, come to me. So like in the midst of our trials, our pain, our suffering, we're actually like more than invited to like hand it over to him. And so like how beautiful is that, that like we're actually not even called to carry these things on our own. And the beautiful part, like another really beautiful thing, is that like Jesus also gives us the gift of like Christian community. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:26, when one member rejoices, we all rejoice. When one member suffers, we all suffer together. So this is what it means to be the body of Christ. We share in our suffering and we're not alone. So part of our responsibility is to like reach out when we need, but the flip side is actually also making space for others. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So that means like we don't need to rush to fix people or offer quick answers or throw out cliches. Like some of the greatest ways we can love one another is just to actually sit with them in their pain. The book of Job is a really good reminder of this. Job's friends started out really well sitting with him, but then they started speaking into it and like, oh, maybe this or this, that, the other. And Job is like, do you know what? It'd be better if you were just silent. Silence, presence, listening, like these are acts of love. David Oxburg says that being listened to is so close to being loved that most people can't even tell the difference. Often, like, we might feel inadequate, we don't know what to say, we're afraid of saying the wrong thing, but what someone might need most is not answers, but presence. To pray with them, to listen to them, and, like, sit with them in their sorrows. And I love that this is actually a way that we can, like, this is how we can express the love of Christ to one another. I think like in my own life, when I think of hard times, a lot of it is to do with like other people around me really suffering. And it's like hard to walk through that, but there's a real beauty to it. I also noticed I really didn't want to think of a story to share because I was like, oh gosh, but I have a story. So this is like when I first moved to DY, so like a couple, who knows, 3 years back maybe. Moved here and I was like really affirmed. I was like, yep, God's called me here. Bring it on. Starting a new job, finding a new community, trying to just settle in. And almost immediately life just was like a bit hectic. For about 8 months straight, I was like in and out of hospital for like the most random things. And like, you can ask my family, they'll have plenty of stories to tell you, but like, I just hate the hospital. Like even just hearing the word would make me just feel sick. So it was like the worst place to be ending up. Anyways, I remember like one night, especially I'd like just gotten out of hospital. I was still probably like medicated on something. It was a youth night and I was like, yeah, in God's strength. And like definitely he sustained me through it. But I remember like, I think dad drove me because I wasn't even well enough to drive myself. Like walked in, I remember one of the youth leaders was like, oh, how are you? How's your week? Oh, it's been good. Yeah, how are you? Like deflected it back. And then I remember my dad being like, no, like Jess, you've just been in hospital. Like you've been sick all week. And I was like reflecting back and I was like, gosh, it is so easy to put on a mask and like to pretend we're not okay when we're not. But by carrying our burdens alone, like this does not lead to life and it just leads to exhaustion. Now there are two moments from this season that really like stood out to me that I wanted to share. And first was I had a friend strangely going through like a very similar thing. Anyways, and there was like 3 months in particular and we both like loved surfing and exercising and there was 3 months where we couldn't do any of that. And I remember we would just sit there. We did a lot of like, you know, not a lot of words, a lot of praying for one another, a lot of just like having no answers. Anyways, after a bit of time, we finally got to go back in the water. And I remember we like, it's like 10 a.m. on a Monday. We paddled out to Bower. We like surfed. It was like we had our mouths. And I remember we like came in, like put our boards to the side of us. And I remember we just like sat there like weeping, just like tears of joy. And I think like sitting like that was such a gift to have like someone go through like the dark times, but also like the beautiful times as well. And it's like that's the picture of like what we're meant to do with one another is like sit in both of them. And there was also another epic moment from that time. And it was on my birthday and we had this like women's like Bible study. Anyways, and then I just remember getting like pressed with all these hectic questions. I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. But I was like, it kind of made me realize, do you know what? I don't even think I'm not okay. And I do need help, and like received prayer. And then, I had to admit that and like kind of confess it in some way. And then it was like a massive turning point. Like not long after, like my health began to return, could surf again, exercise. Like I was like, we're back. But like more than just being healthy, I like learned something deeper that like in the midst of suffering, like God doesn't ask us to fake joy, but he actually calls us to receive his joy. And that joy isn't something we can manufacture. It's something like he gives us when we pour out our hearts to him. And like that's the calling we have as a church together. And like that's the gift of Christian community. Now for the final part, which is really sick. It is Romans. I don't know if this slang is probably not allowed for sermons, but anyways. Romans 5:3-5. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Now, this doesn't mean suffering is easy, but it does mean suffering is never wasted. In Christ, like even our sorrows, God is shaping us to become more like Jesus. And when we carry these sorrows together in community, wow, I feel like I'm losing my voice. we discover that life cannot be shaken. Like, this is like, we all know this, but like, I just want you to like wrestle and like really make it known. Like Jesus, like God's own son, like came down to live the life that like we could never live, die the death we all deserved. Like he took on our sin, our suffering, our pain. He took that on himself. And then like he rose again, like he overcame it all. And because of that, like, nothing can separate us from God. Like our relationship has been restored. So like when we're walking through these sufferings, these trials, these pains, like we have a hope that is like firm and secure, and we know that. So I just think like in a world that is like drowning with like despair, like this is the hope that people desperately need. And as followers of Jesus, like we need to hold on to this and like refresh ourselves in this. And we can offer this to others. Like we're not just offering shallow words or cliches, but like a real, tangible, living hope. So Romans 12:15, it's more than a suggestion. It's like a vision of what church should be. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. When we share joy, we cultivate gratitude and strength. When we share sorrow, we carry one another's burdens and encounter God's comfort. And in both, we are formed into the likeness of Christ. So may we be that kind of community, not a shallow, superficial community, but one of love and depth. Because in doing so, we actually have an opportunity to show the world what the kingdom of God looks like. And I might just pray for us to wrap it up. Hi, Lord. I just thank you for the opportunity to share. I just thank you that we can turn to you in the highs and lows of life Thank you that you don't call us to be alone in the midst of trials or suffering. Yeah, Lord, I just ask that you would just invite us as a people. Would we just become outposts of laughter and delight in the midst of this neighborhood? Would we bear one another's crosses, sit with one another, and ultimately point one another to the hope we have in you? Yeah, Lord, I just ask for a deepening of friendships and relationships with each other so that we can participate in being formed to be more like you, Jesus, and in bringing about your kingdom to earth. Amen.